There is a fascinating story in the book of Acts, chapter 10. There's a man named Cornelius who lived in Caesarea. Now, Cornelius is a Gentile, which means simply that he's not a Jew. He was captain of the Italian guard that was stationed there and was a thoroughly good man. He had led everyone in his house to live worshipfully before God and was helping people in need and had a habit of prayer. Well, he had a vision, and an angel came and said to him that he should send for Peter and invite Peter to come to his house. And so he sent some people, some men, to go and find Peter and bring him to him. It says that as the three travelers were approaching the town where Peter was staying, Peter got hungry. It was about noon, and he got hungry. And so he started thinking about lunch. And while he was thinking about lunch, he said the heavens opened up, and he saw something that looked like a huge blanket lowered by ropes at the four corners as it settled on the ground. Every kind of animal and reptile and bird that you can think of was on it. Then a voice came, "Go to it, Peter, kill and eat." And Peter said, "Oh, Lord, no, I've never even so much as tasted food that was not kosher." The voice came a second time, "If God says it's okay, it's okay." This happened three times, and then the blanket was pulled back up into the sky. So while Peter was puzzling and trying to figure it out, the men that were sent by Cornelius showed up. And Peter said, "Okay, I think I'm the man you're looking for." And he agreed to go with them and see Cornelius. When he got to Cornelius' house, Peter said, "You know, I am sure that this is highly irregular. Jews just don't do this. We don't visit and relax with people of another race. But God has just shown me that no race is better than any other. So the minute I was sent for, I came, no questions asked. But now I'd like to know why you sent for me." Cornelius said, "Well, 4 days ago, about this time, mid-afternoon, I was at home praying. Suddenly there was a man right in front of me, flooding the room with light. And he said, 'Cornelius, your daily prayers and neighborly acts have brought you to God's attention. I want you to send to Joppa to get Simon, the one they call Peter. He's staying with Simon the tanner down by the sea.' So I did it. I sent for you. And you've been good enough to come. And now we're all here in God's presence, ready to listen to whatever the Master put in your heart to tell us." Well, Peter fairly exploded with the good news. It's God's own truth. Nothing could be plainer. God plays no favorites. It makes no difference who you are or where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as God says, the door is open. And then Peter proceeded to tell the story of Jesus. And it says, "No sooner were these words out of Peter's mouth than the Holy Spirit came on the listeners. The believing Jews who had come with Peter couldn't believe it, couldn't believe that the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on an outsider Gentile. But there it was. They heard them speaking in tongues. They heard them praising God." And so we gather together, aware that God comes to all people everywhere. And it is the exact same gospel. It doesn't change. It never deviates from one race to another. God has come for all of us. And in Christ, there is no east or west, nor no north or south. Jesus, we thank you for this truth, that you have come to every one of us. And that's the end of the story. You have come to every one of us. And we are so grateful that that is true. That you don't play favorites. some aren't better off than others, don't have greater access. But in your kingdom, we all have direct access to you. Thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. There's an old adage that says, give a man a fish and he will eat for a day. Teach a man to fish and he will eat for a lifetime. So while this statement rings true, John Perkins has rightfully noted that we also have to ask, who owns the pond? Beyond that, I think even more questions arise. What if the pond is polluted? What if the pond you have access to is never restocked with fish? What if a wall is built to restrict access to the pond? So consistent access to the pond is necessary because without access to the pond, the ability to fish is of absolutely no use. The truth is that we have consistent access to Christ, all of us, every single one of us. Galatians 3:28 says, there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:11 is similar. It says, in that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free. But Christ is all and in all. Ephesians 2:14, for he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall. That is the hostility between us. Romans 2:11, for God shows no partiality. Leviticus 19:33 and 34, when a stranger sojourns with you in your land, you shall do him no wrong. You shall treat the stranger who sojourns with you as the native among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. John 13:16, truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And we go on and recognize that there are a multitude of stories where Jesus honors the one that is considered other by many people that are around them. The woman at the well, the woman who was a Samaritan, hated by the Jews. And not only that, but she couldn't go to the well in the early morning when the other women went because she was a woman with a poor reputation. The woman caught in adultery that they brought to Jesus to be stoned according to the law. And Jesus said, let the one without sin cast the first stone. And no one stoned her, nor did Jesus condemn her. Children are welcomed. Women travel with Jesus as the disciples. Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan in which the hated Samaritan is the good neighbor. Jesus touches the leper, makes himself unclean, and then heals the leper. The Ethiopian eunuch is a story in Acts, a black person of intersex nature, was baptized by Philip. Yet in the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, he says, we must face the fact that in America, the church is still the most segregated major institution in America. At 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, when we stand and sing, and Christ has no east or west, we stand in the most segregated hour in this nation. This is tragic. We, the church, have work to do. And we must extend the welcome of Jesus to all people everywhere. About 20 years ago, I attended a retreat in which one of the leaders of the retreat was from South Africa. She was a white female pastor who had grown up under apartheid and considered it good. It was a part of her upbringing, a part of her assumption that this is the way you lived in that part of the world. And she did not question that which she was raised with as a young person. At this point, she was a white female pastor. She left South Africa for respite because she needed to be recuperated after being burnt out, because she worked tirelessly to bring about the end of apartheid. So I asked her one day, what changed you from assuming that apartheid was good, normal, natural, that's the way it was, to working tirelessly to end apartheid? What moved you to change in that? And she said that it was when she learned that, or recognized that, her black peers had something to teach her. That seeing fellow black ministers had truth to teach her, she could no longer deny their equality. When she recognized that they knew truth that she didn't know directly, and they taught her, she could not deny that they were equals. And so she changed. She did work tirelessly to end apartheid. They burned an amnesty candle each week. She suffered greatly as the governmental leaders worked to snuff out the candle that she persisted in lifting, and yet was one of the ones that was successful in working towards its end, and was in the United States for just a time of respite before returning to her role as a pastor. The truth is that in Christ, we all have access to God. In the story of the woman at the well in John 4, where Jesus is talking with the Samaritan woman, Samaritans were despised by the Israelites because they had intermarried with foreigners. So they were looked down upon and as less than, as not being their equals, as not being true Jews who did what was right. And while Jesus is at this well talking with this woman of poor reputation that didn't even go to the well with the other women in the town, they end up having this conversation about worship, about true worship and the place of true worship. Is the place of true worship on the mountain or in Jerusalem? Is it on her mountain or his Jerusalem? Who's right? And Jesus said, the time is coming when you won't worship in either place. It's not her mountain or his Jerusalem. Jesus said, the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. In the book of Acts, the Judaizers wrestle with Peter and Paul, who insist that the Gentiles have direct access to God. As I read in the story from Peter and his encounter with Cornelius, and also Paul, who had traveled among the Gentiles and recognized that they too were called to follow God and had direct access to God. But there were these Judaizers that were determined to hold up, no, the people that are Jews are the only ones with access to God. And they have this conversation back and forth. It's in Acts 15, and it's a wonderful story about the very first Quaker meeting for business. We kind of claim it. Really, Quakers weren't in existence back at that point. We come along in the 1600s, so much, much later. And yet, it really is an example of how Quakers follow the process of listening to God. And in the end, they realized that the Gentiles do have direct access to God. And that they don't have to submit to all the Jewish rituals in order to have this access to God. You don't have to become a Jew first before you can become a Christian, a follower of Jesus. That you simply, as you are, can follow God. That all people can come to God directly. Jew and everyone who is not a Jew. And that means everybody. Absolutely everybody has direct access to God. Romans 8:14-17 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, 'Abba, Father,' it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him." We are all children of God. It matters not anything. We are all children of God. Let us listen and wait as the children of God gathered in this place, inviting God to speak directly to us, as God always does. We choose to open our hearts and our minds and hear the words which Jesus is speaking. Let's listen.